Well, let's call the meeting to order then. It's approximately 6:33, and it's September 7th. And Teresa Allen is present. Is the general manager present? Dr. Franklin?
I am present. I am present.
Welcome.
Yes.
Well, okay. Bill Crozier, are you present?
Yeah, Bill's here.
Thank you, Bill. Lyndon Foley? Not hearing Lyndon. Tom Harper?
I'm here, but who is that background noise?
Whoever's in their car with a turn indicator, that must be Wendy. Okay.
Yeah, but can you just count me present and I'll mute?
Beth, thank you very much, Wendy. Yes, I'll
You're
do
welcome.
That. All right, that was Wendy Frell. All right.
You were calling Tom. I didn't hear his voice.
Tom Harper?
Yes, I'm here, Teresa.
Thank you, Tom. Mike Lewis, I think I heard your voice.
Mike Lewis
Robin,
here.
Thank you, Mike. Robin Lewis?
I'm here.
Thank you, Robin. Marianne Martinez? I'm not hearing Marianne. Carol McGregor?
I'm here.
Thank you, Carol. Darrell Robbins? I'm not hearing... Wait a minute. I'm not hearing Darrell. Nancy Zabarnaratomi?
Present. Nancy, present.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Deb Shafto? I'm not hearing Deb. Rob Lee? I'm not hearing Rob. Is there anyone that's on the call whose name I did not call? No one? All righty. So I take it Richard Uzzell is not on the call, and Bruce Grief, or Kurt Gergen. Okay, so let's call the meeting to order. I did send out an agenda, and let me pull it up.
How did you send it? I didn't get an agenda.
I sent it a couple hours ago. I can send it out again to you. Your email has not changed, has it?
No.
Okay, well.
Oh, no, no. No, I'm sorry, Teresa. I didn't even check my email. I was checking messages, which is what I always check. But I haven't, I'm sorry, I have not checked AOL.
Okay, so it should be in your email. All right, no problem
then. Okay.
So I'm looking at our draft agenda. The meeting has been called to order. And I have sent the agenda. I'm assuming it doesn't need to be reread. There are 7 items on the agenda, and some have I'm going to read it. Call to order and roll call. Approve agenda is 2. 3 is approved minutes. 4 is a report from the development director, and if our general manager would like to say something, we would love that. 5 is fundraising, and the categories are the subcommittee on plan giving, the pledge drive, a report on that, our next pledge drive, and I have 3 questions under that. Item D is legacy giving. Number E is lapsed donors. Number 6 is new business, and under new business we have A, which is the December quiet drive, and B, Giving Tuesday. Number 7 is set the next meeting, which is already on KPFTX for October 5th of 2021, so mark your calendar for that. October 5th is a Tuesday. That's good. And then adjourn. So, does anyone move to approve the agenda?
I move.
Who is that?
Tom Harper.
Okay.
I move.
Tom Harper moved to approve the agenda. Is there any objection to approving this agenda?
No.
Hearing none, the agenda is approved without objection. Now, I sent out the minutes several times. I'm only speaking of the minutes of August the 3rd. Does anyone move to approve the minutes, which I also attached to the agenda which I sent out today? So it's been sent out twice. Does anyone move to approve the minutes of August 3rd?
Yes.
Is that Mike Lewis?
Yeah, Mike Lewis.
Okay, thank you, Mike. So Mike moved to approve the August 3rd minutes. Is there any objection? All right, the minutes are approved without objection. At this point, I'd like to hear a report from the development director. Robin, do you want to say anything to us?
Yeah, I was muted.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, what is there to say? The August drive ended on August 31st. It was 23 days long. Resulted in $51,000 in pledges made. About 420 total pledges were made. 84 of those were from brand new people.
Okay.
Wow.
Excuse me?
I said wow. 84
okay.
New members.
Mm-hmm. And that's that. No.
Okay. Can you tell us if we have had any vehicles donated since in the last month?
Yes, there were. And I have a number for the entire fiscal year of 21. $15,766 in vehicle donations have been made so far. That's a big jump over the last fiscal year.
Since 15,000 since when?
Since October 1st, 2020.
Oh.
Fiscal year 21.
Fiscal year.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
Okay, so that's a big
not very
jump
good
over
compared
last
to
year.
Other years, is it?
Well, I would say 5 or 6 years ago, yeah, it would have been about twice that or more.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's a big jump over last year, where there was only about $5,700 donated last year.
Okay.
Last
wow.
fiscal year, you know.
Okay.
So, things are looking up there, I would say. And then we have our usual direct mail attempts to raise money, and those are working fairly well. If you give me time, I can look up the numbers we got on renewals and IRS. I call them IRS letters, the ask that we make when we send people their tax receipts,
okay,
which works pretty well.
Uh-huh.
So that just goes along on, you know, at a regular pace. Just about monthly for, especially for the renewals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can get if you can get us that,
yeah,
that would be great. Did you have anything else to say, or should we open it up for questions, Robin?
I don't have a report written down, so I'm winging this, and I'm fading. So questions.
Okay. I've told people you what the agenda is, so if we have questions that don't have to do with other things that will come up on the agenda, it's a good time to ask them. Then any questions of Robin, or should we ask Dr. Franklin to say something?
I'm trying to get my question in. I move that we ask Dr. Franklin for his input.
Okay, Dr. Franklin, welcome. We're so happy that you're on the call. Did you have furniture delivered today?
Not today, no. Not today.
Not yet, okay.
Perhaps tomorrow.
Perhaps tomorrow, okay. Do you want to say anything to us?
Well, a very pleasant good evening. Hello, and hope all is doing. All you guys having a good evening. Had a good Labor Day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to what's just been said about the fundraiser, membership drive, I think that's promising. Again, we're operating under unusual times here. I know there's not a playbook anywhere in public radio, community radio, about how to operate a fund drive or how to operate broadcast station during a pandemic. So everything is being created as we go. But as hopefully the pandemic dissipates and the Delta variant does likewise, I think in terms of the outreach, which is a big part of what I'll be pushing and working with the development committee to do, outreach into our general community, having those special events that generate revenue will be something that I'll be actively soliciting the input from the development committee and others in the broader community to participate with us. Collaboration is something that's very important to me. Building bridges into the community, meeting with and talking with and getting the support of stakeholders throughout our listening audience is something that I'll strongly be in favor of and work with the development committee to do. The other thing I was speaking earlier for about an hour with Ms. Allen was just some observations about possible approaches with respect to fundraising, membership, the tragic loss of Larry that you guys referred to earlier. Perhaps we could look at, in good taste, how there might be a legacy, some type of legacy fund or whatever you want to call it, that would go in support of, you know, Larry's values and his presence on the station, how that might be done in good taste, and whether or not that might be something that can be almost like a quiet type of solicitation made over the air, but also in a way in which you know, his legions of listeners and subscribers can continue to support in some way. The other thing that I have had some discussion with Robin that I strongly believe in is seeking, you know, external funding via or through grants. I think that's a good way to get seed money that could help to raise the profile of some of our programming, outreach programming. I started doing research well before I got here about into some of the programming that the station has produced, continues to produce, and ran across a couple of funding foundations that I thought would really go in line with some of the programming. I think just heard there's a prison show host on here. There is a proposal. There's a organization called Borealis, and they offer funding to programming stations that do programming, social justice, and so forth, which is creatively a way in which we could cobble together a proposal that might seek to take advantage of some of the existing programming, like the prison show and some of the other shows that we're doing, to get external funding, which will offer added exposure to such programs, but it'll also put us on a track where we can generate positive PR marketing on some of the programs that we're doing. there was another organization, the Unitarian Universalist Association Fund for a Just Society, is another external funding source that I think we could tap into and look at ways in which some of the existing programs that we have been utilizing can actually be utilized for that particular opportunity. And another foundation, very well known, the Knight Foundation. And
A-N-I-G-H-T?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Their particular focus is combating disinformation in communities of color. I think, again, a lot of the programmers that that the station just have been producing over a number of years. We just have to creatively work into a proposal how we might be able to operationalize some of the areas that, that particular proposal funding agency seek. So my view is looking at ways in which we can take what we already have. There's a lot that we need, but there's a lot that we also have. And just working smarter and not harder as we move toward the bigger challenges that we have here. But there's some opportunities that we can take advantage of that's already in place. We need to tweak it here and there, but addressing those particular opportunities that we currently have, realizing that we're short-staffed in every way. But I think, again, reaching out and seeking other volunteers, as I mentioned to Ms. Allen earlier today, look to find other partners in the community. I welcome the opportunities for members of this committee. If you have friends who might be interested, I love to ask. I don't have any shame in asking. I do it with humility. So if you want to send me those individuals' names, I will reach out to them. Or if you want to reach out to them and have them reach out to me, either way, it works. What I do want to do is to help to build or rebuild a strong volunteer base. I do know that I would be an advocate in terms of helping our current development star get added paid time, days, as well as looking to try to find office space, temporary or short term, for her, and hopefully her to have an assistant, a paid assistant. That's on my agenda of things I want to do. But if we are successful with some of these grant proposals, some of those have built in, some of them have opportunities to put temporary staffing opportunities, and I'll be looking to hopefully find those opportunities as well, so that we might, you know, if at best, you know, get a part-time spot funded for, you know, 6 months. And if we're really fortunate, some of the larger grants.
Okay, Wendy, you need to mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Go ahead, Dr. Franklin.
Some of the larger grants, like from the Ford Foundation grants, that offer a great deal more funding. They come with plans that offer, you know, sometimes equipment, staffing, and other opportunities that could really help to grow, you know, our small staff, even if it's on a temporary basis. So one of the things that I do know is that we do have, based upon what I have been able to research from a distance on the programming, a great deal of promise there in terms of the programs and the outreach into the communities. I see a lot of potential there in terms of the broad swath of communities that the station is really earmarked its efforts toward. I think another thing that we do need to work on, and we will work on, is really having training sessions, you know, for our on-air programmers, because there is an art to asking. It is it's intimidating if you have not asked, had to go on the air and ask. And I think giving, having tutorials, even if it's electronic or practice sessions where our programmers are given the how-to in terms of asking. And we might have to find individuals who are in the community who are seasoned, and it's something that I'm willing to and will work with our programmers on. We have to get them comfortable with making the ask. We have to ingrain that into part of their pitch, part of their on-air presentation. That's very, very important. in terms of asking. If we don't ask, then we won't get anything. And I have always made a statement to all the announcers or programs that I've worked with that radio is not a right. Radio is a privilege and not a right. It's a privilege to have a board shift, to be able to do what you love to do. But the trade-off is there's things that, from a membership development standpoint, that we need our programmers to do to help us to maintain a level of financial continuity that's necessary for the continued consistent operation of the membership base, but also the station as well. I didn't mean to go on that long, but I'll just stop now.
No, I think every word was priceless. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Franklin?
Bill?
Yes, I do. Tom was second.
All right, let's go with Bill and then with sounded like Tom Harper.
And put me on, Teresa.
Bill, then Tom, then Wendy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Franklin. I really like what you said, and we do need to be looking at other sources of revenue. The, you know, what I've been reading, public radio as well as community radio has really been struggling getting donations from listeners, especially since the pandemic hit. And then it probably affected us more than some because when we switched to all pre-recorded programs, I mean, that really, really negatively affected our fund drives. But, you know, some programmers are still able to bring in money, even with it pre-recorded and obviously pre-recorded. I do suggest that you get with Robin and look at every individual show and see how much money they brought in the last year. Because, you know, we've had some that don't want to pitch, others don't pitch well, others that just have shows, I guess, that aren't attracting listeners. And, you know, they need to either be helped, like you were suggesting. And it's not just with pitching, it's also producing a good show that people want to hear, or they need to be replaced, because you're also right, nobody owns their time slot, and they may have a good topic, but maybe they're not doing a good job at, you know, talking about that. I'm also glad you're talking about grants. If I can help at all, you know, I don't mind writing. I'm not a grant writer, but, you know, I don't mind helping with that if I can do that in some other way. The budget, you know, that we're going to approve tomorrow, that the budget committee approved last week, has no more money in it all for personnel other than what we already have. So if a grant can help bring in some more personnel funds, that would be great. I mean, it would be wonderful if we could get somebody to help Robin, for example, and somebody work on development, and as well as building up membership, because we've had a big membership loss also since the pandemic started, and even earlier than that. So we need to be looking at rebuilding. Also strongly suggest you have meetings, probably multiple meetings with staff. We have, you know, probably around 150 programmers. You know, they're all volunteers. They're really, I mean, they're the ones that have the experience. They have thousands of hours of experience collectively in all kinds of different fields, not just what they talk about on the air. And they're a real source of energy and inspiration and ideas, and they can help you solve some of the problems. But please reach out to them, and you know, they're not all available at any one time, but if you could have a series of Zoom meetings at different times and days, perhaps they could help you, you know, figure out what to do too. I think a lot of them are just looking to know what you want to do and how to do it and what the goals are. But I'll shut up for now. Thank you. And if I can help, let me know.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, and I will be reaching out to you, as well as I do plan to, once I get my housing arrangement and stuff set up, I do plan to have a outreach opportunity for where I can talk with via Zoom or some other outreach mechanism to meet with and talk with and get feedback from the programmers, because, again, one of the things that as a creative person myself, creative people do not like to be micromanaged. And I'm not a micromanager. But at the same time, I know the artist does his or her best work when they are free to do so. With some degree of limitations there for our programs, I want them to know that, and I will communicate this to them, that I want them to be as free to create beautiful music and all that. But the trade-off is that, you know, my expectations is that that they, in their creative process, involve a creative way, a beautiful way of asking for money and not to be ashamed of it. And that's something that, as a person who sat behind the microphone and had to ask for money, as well as in person, is something that you can be trained to do, and you can become comfortable doing so. So I do want to reach out, and we'll reach out to all the programmers to get their input, because I want to hear from them, not just have it be a one-way street. I think communication is best when it's a two-way street, and the channel is clear of noise. So I appreciate your help, and I'll reach out to you, and thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with everything you said.
Teresa, it's Tom's turn.
Maybe Teresa, I was on mute. Tom Harper?
Yes, I'm here. Dr. Franklin, some of the questions that I was going to ask you, Bill Crozier covered some of the things, but I'm going to put it to you like this. Are you going to be evaluating all these programs and the people that, you know, produce them and direct them? Are you going to be evaluating them, those people? And if and it, they also be evaluated on their production of promoting KPFT?
The short answer is yes. There will be an evaluation process at some point. I think my first introduction, my first way of actually evaluating is by listening anonymously, just kind of listening in real time before I put any type of criteria on a piece of paper, because every programmer, every producer, they have their own style, they have their own way of creating their particular product. So I want to become as intimately knowledgeable of that particular individual as I possibly can in terms of what he or she is trying to accomplish listening to the show. And then at some point, like in any organization, there is an evaluation process. And the evaluation process is not developed to terminate anyone, but it's a mechanism by which you help the person move from one point to a better point to an excellent point. So the tool or the survey tool or whatever I want to call it, whatever it's going to be called, will be utilized to help the person grow, realizing that some of the programmers may not be seasoned radio producer people. And as a person who have taught one-on-one radio broadcasting students, it's something that I know is very important. It's something that I look forward to reviewing and designing that particular criteria. The flip side of having volunteers is that when John Q. Public is listening to, let's just put in quotes, a professional station, a professional announcer who may have years of experience and gone to school and he's maybe getting paid thousands of dollars, when they don't equate a volunteer, they don't see the difference between a volunteer who doesn't have that experience and a professional announcer. They're going to evaluate the professional announcer just like they evaluate the volunteer announcer. And if the volunteer announcer is making some basic mistakes, then that John Q. Public driver has the opportunity to just switch to another station. So what I'm saying is that raising the professional standards doesn't mean that someone has to go off and get a degree. We can put together a good training program that will help all of our programmers to be better at doing the basics of radio. That's not to say that they don't understand radio. It's just that we'll have a criteria that will help programmers be better programmers, better producers, because, again, as I've said to my students, and as I've said to some announcers, garbage in, garbage out. Meaning if you put poor audio in, you're going to get poor audio out. If you put a quality product in, you're going to get a quality product on the output side. So I do plan to work with The program is coming up with a tool that's fair, that helps the programmer grow from A to B, to put it simply, but to help the programmer grow. But at the same time, understand that a part of the evaluation process is on-air promotion, legal IDs, promoting, you know, our goals. And again, we'll have individual goals that Teresa mentioned to me earlier, that we will set realistic goals for each of our programmers, so that they'll know up front that if they're to generate 10 callers, we will help them to come up with techniques to get those particular 10 callers. But they first have to make the ask. It's not simply a matter of, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to do it. I don't think that that's, I know that's not acceptable. But we'll come up with a fair instrument, if I can use that word.
Yes.
That will evaluate our analysis.
Well, thank you, Dr. Franklin, and I thank you for your hypothesis, and also I thank you for your motivational skills. So, yes, that's the most very important. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, Wendy, you're next.
I'm sorry, I can't turn off that beeping. It's but I have some stuff on the seat, on the passenger seat. I guess it's too heavy.
Put the seatbelt on it, Wendy. Put the seatbelt on it after you pull over. Okay, go ahead,
Oh,
Wendy.
My God, that's all I have to do. I didn't even think of it. Okay. All right, yes, I'll do that. So, Dr. Franklin, I'm so excited to have you and to hear. I know that you're a creative, a programming person, and that's really what we need right now. In addition to everything else, I'm really sorry that we're handing you a station that is sunk so far down. You know, we're talking about taking a whole month to make $50,000 when I've been around the station since about, I was working there in 2002. We were making $25,000, which was still kind of low for, you know, we could have done better than that. But anyway.
Wait a minute,
you know,
did you say $25,000, Wendy, or $125,000?
Yeah. No, $25,000 a day was our average.
A day, okay.
Yeah, when we first, there was a bunch of turmoil in Pacifica and a campaign to get rid of the old board, and when it all changed over, it was an exciting time, and a lot of new shows came on at the same time, but also after that, we settled down, and we were raising money. It was always a struggle, but we were doing pretty good, and since then, we've lost an awful lot of shows that weren't really replaced, and kind of like the guy who is standing closest to the studio was the one who got the show next, you know. It's like there's been kind of a lot of that. And if I could offer any, my big request is I hope you'll have a programmer meeting pretty soon. And I don't know, you guys, is this COVID thing going to go on forever? Because I'm coming, I've been in the mountains and the people there aren't doing it, you know. It's just normal life up there. So, but there's a lot less of them, you know. So I hope that we're going to be able to get together at some point again, because I think that's hugely important. But if we can't do it in person, at least a Zoom meeting. And I know you just said that, and I don't know why I'm using my valuable time here in your beeping ears to say that.
Do you have a question?
Well, I'm just excited. I did have a question, and now it maybe is escaping me, but my question is, are you familiar with any of the Houston foundations that offer funding? Do you, well, that's all. We'll help you with the ones we know about, of course. Have you ever lived here before or anything like that? Are you familiar with Houston?
I am. I actually, when I was doing my film on Mickey Leland some years back, I think that was a Houston foundation, I think, I went to for funding. I didn't get any funding. So I never take no, so I just self-funded my film from my own limited resources. I never allow somebody telling me no to be the final answer. But I do know of that particular foundation in Houston. And I do know Houston because when I was doing my film here some years back in 2008 to 2013, I visited Houston and I was talking with a lot of the people here in Houston who are still here. Most of them are still here, from Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman, to Rodney Ellis. I think he's a city commissioner.
Oh, yeah.
The former mayor of Houston, Hoff Hines, I believe his name is, and others in the community. So I spent a lot of time here doing my film. And I am, I guess, happy to be back. I don't say I'm happy to be back. And I think in terms of our working together, in terms of seeking out local funding, I think that'll help us in the short term and the long term. I have one of the things that I'm still looking, hoping to be able to secure is some temporary studio space for our announcers so that they can actually come to a studio and produce their programs in a studio until such time that we're able to get our own building. And I've had some positive discussions with a gentleman at what's the name? Out Proud and Live. They have a studio that they might be willing to work such that it may be like almost on a barter type situation, perhaps even looking at ways in which we might be able to generate revenue for the station. But that's in the very, very early stages. But if we're able to get that studio space for our announcers, then they would then be able to come in and utilize the equipment there to produce their programs until such time that we get our facilities in our own studio. But there are some grants, as I was mentioning earlier, that will allow, you know, some degree of, you know, studio upgrades and stuff to that effect. And if we work all hard, if we work together, we might be able to secure a couple of those grants and then have collaboration with entities within the community, which will make a stronger proposal and might be able to generate an enormous amount of external funding that can really augment our depleted budget there. So I welcome your help, and I'll reach out to you.
Good, good. And I just wanted to say one more thing about even if we just had a studio just for the pledge drive, that would be a lot different, you know, because we're just coming on with a canned pitch every now and then, and it's just not the same. We used to have a lot of fun in our pledge drives. And you notice when Robin said we had 400 and something pledges and 82 of them were new, there's some real diehard people that will give every time no matter what. But we also have just thousands of lost, you know, we were in the middle of planning the 50th anniversary when this COVID thing started. And I had, I don't know if we were going all the way with my idea, but I had this great reunion idea, and it was going to re-energize all kinds of people, because a couple years ago when we had that Empire State Building thing looming on us and Pacifica's properties were about to be seized for this money we owed the Empire State Building, I just knew that if everybody in Houston, you know, everybody's heard of it, there's lots of people that will support KPFT even though they don't like what they're saying, you know, that I hate what you're saying, but I support your right to say it thing. If everybody knew that our stuff was about to be seized by Empire State Realty Trust, then they would have each gave $5 to save KPFT, you know. And a time when you have a brand new manager is always really exciting. Right now, everybody will be friends in the beginning, you know, and so we can really build on that, I think. And so I hope that you'll be a real communicator with them. I don't know how you're going to have time to do all these things. But there are people that will help you, you know. And
that's all I need.
I'm one of them. I'm on my way back to Houston, so I'll see you guys soon.
Okay,
thank
you very
much for coming.
Can everybody hear me, or am I still on mute?
We hear
I hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
I hear you.
So,
go ahead.
All right, so I want to ask you two quick questions, and I don't want you to go on too long. I want to. You said that you're listening right now to our programming. Can you give some general impressions of our programming? And my second question is, some people are asking, hey, can I learn to do programming from my home? I know that, or live programming, or remote programming. We have in the past done remote programming, but we had a studio, and I don't know quite how that works. Maybe Bill, who's an engineer, can know how that works. But so my two questions are, can you give us some general impressions of some of the things you've had? You might not need even, don't mention any programs, but just some general impressions of our programming. And one, can you imagine right now a way that we can help our people do live remote programming because they want it? Some of them want it. Okay? There you go.
The programming sounds canned, C-A-N-N-E-D. It doesn't sound spontaneous as live radio ordinarily would sound. I think some of the segues are not tight between programs. That's just generally speaking, and I've listened randomly. There is, to your second point, there is a system that I believe Otis shared with Dakota, and I'll email it to you. It's a system that you can, that I think they're using at WBAI, I think, that where they can do live. It sounds just like they're on, according to Otis in his email, it sounds as though, you know, it makes it sound very much live. Cost about $1,700, I think, is what he said. But I haven't investigated the system, but I was looking at the system for myself because I do productions as well. So that's the long and short of it. I'm happy to email that to you if you want to take a look at it.
Teresa, are you muted?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Franklin. Are there any other questions before we move to our very packed agenda? All right. Let's go to fundraising. The first one is the Subcommittee on Planned Giving and Major Donors. Robin, did you want to say anything about that subcommittee that met? Maybe she is on.
Okay, I was, but
thank
I'm not
you.
Anymore. Well,
don't mean to put you on the
I
spot.
Would. Well, we, Teresa, Rob Lee, and I have gotten together to talk about having a coordinated planned giving program for KPFT. Teresa has found a lawyer person who is willing to kind of be the person that we send people to if they have questions that if the literature that we have doesn't answer. So that's about, you know, we have that. I have the template for this, a very good one. I just have to make it work and get it on our website and make it known. You know, and then have, little spots that tell people, you know, go to the website to find out how to put KPFT in your will, to put it bluntly. So that's in the works. The next thing I have to talk about is, well, I see that's item E on your agenda. But also Rob
well,
Lee has, I'm going to, well, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, as far as planned giving goes, that's kind of where we are. Right now, we don't have any particular major donor efforts planned. I'm trying to stick to the agenda.
To me, we need to have some good shows first, don't you think?
That's we're really hamstringing ourselves with some of the shows that are just not sounding well.
Yeah, a campaign of a plan of some kind. That's all I mean. And I'm going to hang up.
Can you hear me? All right, is it about planned giving or major donors?
Who are you asking?
No.
Teresa, who are you asking?
Who's supposed to be talking?
Teresa, are you muted?
I'm sorry. I'm asking Nancy if her question has to do with planned giving or major donors.
No, I want to know how many members we have now.
Okay. Robin, can you answer that question?
2,746.
Oh, that's better. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
2,746. Does that include programmers?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, not including programmers. Okay.
No, these are paid donors.
Paid donors. Okay. So, do you want to say anything else about going to item B? Do you want to say anything more about the pledge drive?
I don't have anything more to say. It is what
okay.
It was, and it's over.
All right, no problem. Item C is the next pledge drive. Do you know when we're planning to have our next pledge drive?
Money-wise, it really should start about October the 3rd and run till, I wrote it down, but let me look again, and really run till about October the 28th. So that's 25 days we're talking about.
Okay.
A realistic goal for what to get close to what we may be able to raise is really about $100,000, which if that all came in all at once would probably give us about 2 months of operation.
Okay.
And might get us to December.
Did you, Tom, is that Tom with a question?
Yes. Robin, how did our Facebook birthday wishes, how did they fare? Did they do okay? Did KPFT get the money?
How much money are
yeah,
we raising? I guess my question is how much money are we raising with GoFundMe on Facebook? Is that what you're saying?
No, birthday funding for KPFT. When you give to a nonprofit organization, your birthday wish is to give to KPFT, like I've been doing, and Hank Lamb did, and I believe Mike Lewis did also.
I've done that too. So, are you saying how much did we raise? Those were through Facebook, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Robin, do you have that answer?
I don't have a number in front of me for just Facebook donations. But, I've been getting reports on them all year long. So I can make an educated estimate across the fiscal year. Facebook has brought in about $10,000 to KPFT over the course of 12 months. And each individual campaign, they vary wildly. Some do very well. Some even go over the goals, and some do not. There are also individuals who are not programmers or anything at all who make these campaigns for KPFT. So it's very helpful what comes in through Facebook. But as you know, we don't get any demographic information on the donors. So it's really very difficult to contact them again once it's done.
Okay, thank you, Robin.
And then film staff.
Okay, now we are talking about the next pledge drive. You have a question about
Nancy
that?
On the stack. Nancy on the stack. May I speak? Teresa, you're muted.
Nancy? Is your question about the next pledge drive?
I don't appreciate you asking, interrogating me. Can I speak?
Okay, we're going to try to stay on the agenda.
Yeah, I don't appreciate this, Teresa. May
then
I
you're
ask
out of
Robin
order.
A question about what she's talking about?
Okay, if you don't understand, then I'm assuming it's about she's talking about the next pledge drive. Do you want to explain yourself, Robin?
No, she was talking about the Facebook birthday funding.
Okay, well, that's my error. I should not have allowed that discussion on this item of the agenda. But go ahead, Robin, answer her question.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't hear a question.
I don't think I have not heard the cart for that kind of Facebook birthday funding. I have not heard it in a long time, maybe even a whole year. I have not heard it this year. So if we don't play it or if we don't make another one and talk about it, then it's just going to stay those people that know it and want to keep it up. It's not going to grow, and it's going to die out. So there's no cart. I haven't heard it at all. That's all.
Okay. Can I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
The mechanisms to get announcements of just about anything have not been made clear. As to who's going to record these announcements, you know, like about Facebook or about events or anything else, and how they get, you know, put into the schedule. For some of the efforts that we make, that would really be, and that can be clarified in some sort of procedure for that. That would be highly helpful for a lot of things, like car donations. I don't think I've heard a car donation pitch in a very long time either.
So maybe that's one message for Dr. Franklin, that we need a volunteer in charge of doing PSAs and promos and generating PSAs and community announcements. Okay, so let's go back to the next pledge drive. So October 3rd through the 28th with a goal of 100,000. And I had three questions written in the notes. Can we get money? How can we get money up front in order to reduce the length of the pledge drive? And we had started talking about this on our last meeting or the meeting before, talking about possibly having an opportunity to win a prize if you pledge money prior to the start of the drive. This is something that KUNM, I was at Grassroots Radio Conference, and KUNM was talking about extensively. They found someone to donate a scooter, for example, one year, and if you donated a certain amount of money, actually, you didn't have to be present to win, but I think for that scooter, if you pledged in advance, you would get a raffle ticket for that scooter. So it was a big incentive, and then you had a lot of pledging that didn't happen at the last minute. I mean, it primed the pump, for example. So I guess maybe, Robin, shall we have a subcommittee to talk about this at length and get it together? And can we ask people on this call right now, everyone, to please think of what we could possibly offer or how we could go about motivating people in advance to donate to the pledge drive? So we came into the pledge drive, for example, with already having $30,000 in hand. Is there anyone that would like to work on this? I hope I'm not muted. Does anybody want to work on this?
Question.
I will work on this.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, the rules about raffles, what I remember from 2018 that, you know, after we had that raffle for that truck, that we were told no more, that we can't do that anymore. But is there a new rule about raffles, that we can do raffles?
Well, actually, this would be a drawing. You would be eligible for something in a drawing. You would be paying it. You would not. Go ahead, Robin.
Teresa Fancy. Texas allows 2 raffles a year for a station like KPFT. That law hasn't changed. So we could do a raffle kind of thing. That's not really a legal issue. Also, a drawing is possible, and that drawing is actually a little more complicated to do than a raffle where you just whip, you know, buy a ticket, and if you draw and you win. So there's no reason not to do a raffle. That's my point.
There is no reason. Okay, so would anyone on this call like to work on a drawing or a raffle or incentives or some sort of solicitation to possibly get people to donate before the pledge drive? Don't all speak
this
once.
This is Nancy.
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Go ahead. Let Tom go. I've been talking. Go ahead,
Tom.
Okay. As I always do, before pledge drive, we try to get people motivated to donate early. So this is how I do it. I go to the social media network, and we start contacting people, by telephone, and I always do that. So that's my suggestion: just sticking to social media.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we could raffle off is the old hats and T-shirts and, coffee cups and stuff like that. I mean, we can do that, I'm sure Robin has a lot of leftover items that are for gifts for our listeners. So that's my suggestion.
Teresa, this is Darrell. I don't know if you got my text.
Hi, Darrell.
Hi. I was late signing on, and everybody was talking, so I've been here for a while. But anyway.
All right. Thank you, Darrell.
Uh-huh. I'm interested in this, but also something that we had on the previous agenda. We were going to get together within a month, you and I, and we were talking about preparing better for the next pledge drive. Would you say these are related?
Yes, absolutely, you need to stay on my case.
I would like to say that I've been pondering it a lot, and I'm still hoping to talk to you and anyone else who's interested, because I do have some ideas, but we were going to make it like a little project, and so... I'm still very interested.
Thank you, Darrell. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And I thank you very much for helping me pick up the thread. So let's get together maybe tomorrow by telephone conference or sometime this weekend, okay?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if there's anyone else that would like to join us, please let me know. Okay?
Can I make a statement?
Yes. Go ahead, Robin.
I do remember that we have 3 guitars that have been signed by various people that might be useful in a raffle or drawing. So we may have something that's attractive already.
Okay.
If anyone can go out there and get a donation of, a scooter would be great. Something like that. That would be even better.
Well, I do know someone that mentioned like a stay at a condominium in San Antonio, for example, like a 3-day stay at a condominium is another possibility. Everybody, please, if you can think of anyone that might have something that they would like to contribute, please contact me. All right?
Nancy on the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I think it is a good idea. We spoke about it before, of having a cart, asking our listeners if they have something valuable they would like to donate as a premium or we really should ask our listeners, because I'm sure some of them have some really nice things. And then if they take a picture of it, write some details, and we send it to us and we can collect it, the pictures and the details, and decide and have some kind of newsletter to send out, let them see it and decide they want to donate for it, you know, let them put a possible starting price for it, like a silent auction. I mean, we could do that in collecting pictures, or we could do it on an ongoing basis, but we need to involve the listeners. And I want to
good
say
point.
When Robin was not here, we had a raffle for a truck, and we had $21,000 come in, and then Los Angeles wanted to do over there with a car or a truck or something, and then the lawyers were telling that because each state of our Pacifica stations are in different rules on each state, they said no more. And so I don't know if it meant no more cars or no more raffles for cars or no more raffles for raffles. I just don't know. I know Texas allows two per year. So I just want to put that out, and I will ask somebody in finance. Ah, Teresa, you're on finance. So ask the finance committee about that. I don't know if they would know.
Well, I will work with Robin, who will do the research necessary to work on this. And I'll certainly talk to Sandy and the people in finance committee.
No, the National Finance Committee. They would know.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Good point. I will make a notation of that. Okay. Did you have any other question, Nancy?
No. That's it.
Okay. All right. Bill?
Yeah, about that, I remember a few years ago, KPFK had a raffle, and they got in some sort of trouble because there were some California regulations. They had city regulations and also California regulations. And those wouldn't apply to us, but I remember there was some talk about, because we're a California corporation, that the California regulations may apply to all of our stations. So you should probably talk to Lydia and see if we can get some legal answer on that. Is it okay or not? Or do we need to do anything special before we get too far along, you know, and have to cancel things?
Okay. I will
ask. The decision then was just not to do any more raffles, but I don't remember for sure if that was just in California or not.
Okay.
I remember we
might have to abide by California rules because we're a California foundation. I think there was one rule that came up in the last raffle, and we had to give anyone we used Wendy at the time was working on this, and we used a company that took some people who bought raffle tickets through California, and we were not allowed to take any purchases out of Texas, so we had to give those back. So that's one rule that we learned from that experience. So I guess my question is to Dr. Franklin, can we possibly do a promo that asks if someone has items that they might want to donate to the station as a raffle or a drawing item? Or do you think
premium.
That would not be good rate? Or premiums. Could we ask for that with a phone number that people could call? Or Robin, can I ask you about that? What do you think?
One, the station is about to be vacated sooner or later. I don't like that idea. The building eventually. I don't like that idea because who's going to go through all the stuff that people want to get rid of? And I'm sorry, but most of it will be not worth the effort. I'd rather that we just came up with a few things you know, with people who kind of have the idea, who know that the idea is not to have a, you know, white elephant sale, but to try to get some valuable stuff that people would be interested in donating for. I don't think it's a particularly good idea.
Hey, Teresa, this is Darrell.
Go ahead, Darrell.
I'm not sure how long the meeting was scheduled to be this evening, and I was hoping that we could just regroup by phone with the people, you know, because we, you and I agreed to come up with some plans to prepare for the next fund drive. But I just want to say that in terms of asking the listeners, I think that I have some ideas for some good examples that have happened by other people and other groups. And I think it's about personal connections, honestly. I don't think that it's, you know, announcing a bake sale on the radio. I think it's about taking time with personal connections. And we've done it before. And we just need some time to, you know, make a plan and I think kind of consult with a couple of other people that have a good track record.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. I do intend to end this meeting hopefully in the next 10 minutes. We don't have very, we don't actually, maybe 15. So let's say by 10 minutes to 8, okay? So let's move on, and we will let Robin decide whether we can do a promo. That's something that she needs to work with our general manager about. And I will talk to any raffle rules about the, at the National Finance Committee. Okay, one last question that I had was, will programmers have goals for this pledge drive? Do either
I think I need to talk with Dr. Franklin about. I have
okay,
my ideas,
good.
But I need to talk to him.
All right, good. Thank you. The next item is legacy giving, and Robin's already discussed that. My question would be, do you think we could get something on our website? It was recommended, I guess, about 15 years ago that we put something on the bottom of every page of our website with some sort of link. And could we maybe consider that? It was recommended by a company
definitely.
That helped people do fundraising.
Most definitely.
Okay. All right. Robin, do you want to talk about lapsed donors, where we are on that?
Okay. Rob Lee has offered his office to KPFT to do calls to lapsed donors. I went there and visited it, and it's very nice. When we are able to get there, when we have volunteers, KPFT volunteers, and make these calls, he will help make it very comfortable. You'll get fed and everything else. Next thing we have to do, he's back from his trip, and the next thing I have to do is take the laptops that we have and set them up in his office so that we can do the calls. So when he's back, I will do that one day and just set them up. I think we have about 5 left laptops that we'll have, and we'll have headphones and all that stuff. Once that's all set up, then we do need to have a training session. If, you know, we can train for an hour and then start calling. So this is definitely going to happen. And we're collecting volunteers who wouldn't mind calling people and asking for money. I don't have a date yet, but I suspect we will be up and running in early October.
Okay. Well, if there's any way we can do this in September, then maybe we could actually raise some money prior to the pledge drive, which would be some sort of challenge thing. Okay. Next item under new business, we have the December quiet drive. Is there anything we want to do to prepare for that?
Can we put that on next month's agenda?
All right. Good point, Darrell. Good point. Next item is Giving Tuesday. And if you look at the what I have on the agenda, it says Giving Tuesday is a movement that unleashes the power of radical generosity around the world.
with a common mission to build a world where generosity is part of everyday life. And in 2020, they raised $2.47 billion to various United States nonprofits from 34.8 billion people. The point, I think that we should take advantage of Giving Tuesday, because I think that Pacifica has always been about volunteers. And it says that it's the purpose of this is not to necessarily just fundraise, but to, you know, fundraising is a natural result of encouraging people to feel generous toward a nonprofit. So can everybody please give thought to how KPFT could utilize Giving Tuesday, which is November 30th of this year. It's always the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, November 20 of 2021. Okay. Any comments or questions about that? All right. Any other new business? Hearing none, our next meeting is October 5th, and there is at least one subcommittee that will be meeting. Does anyone want to propose that we adjourn the meeting?
I propose adjourn.
Yes.
Tom Harper, move to adjourn. All right. Is there any objection to adjourning? All right, the meeting is adjourned at 7:45 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, especially Robin. Thank you, Dr. Franklin. It's refreshing to hear your ideas. Thanks for calling in. And anybody, if you have any thoughts of things that have come up on the agenda, don't hesitate to give me a call, okay?
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.